this mountain, the Lord God will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wine. On this mountain he will destroy the veil that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. This is our text. In the name of our risen and triumphant King, dear Christian friends, when someone wins a victory, it's only natural that we should celebrate. We do this all the time in our daily lives. Over the past few weeks, many baseball enthusiasts in major league cities all over the country have come together for that annual spring ritual called Opening Day. And for those of us, at least in St. Louis and in Milwaukee, that day was made especially sweet when we could go home and shout, "We won! We are the winners!" Because we like winners, and we like to be winners. And I'm sure that every major league team, even at this point in the season, looks forward to that day, possibly next October, when they can come together and celebrate the ultimate victory to say we won it all. We are the champions. Well, my friends, today we come together to celebrate an even greater victory than that. For this is the feast of victory of our God, who has already won it all. Won over everything. Over sin, over death, over the power of the devil, conquered it. Over the follies of the world and the frustrations of our lives and the fear of death, both now and forever, he's won the victory. Over sorrow and grief, over tears and fears, over anguish and despair, over pride and arrogance, over selfishness and greed, he's won it all. Over principalities and powers and things seen and things unseen, and things present and things to come, you name it, he's defeated it, he's won it all, and we are the winners. And so it's only fitting that we should come and celebrate. That we should come again, as Christians did just 2 days ago, as we do every week, every Sunday, every Lord's Day, every day of resurrection, and as we do again this very morning, to celebrate the victory of our God and to share in that feast of victory that he spread before us. Of course, this separates us from the vast majority of people in our world, people who do not fully appreciate the meaning of Easter, people whose lives have not been radically changed by the risen Christ, people who still in their own lives have not put to death the worries and cares and temptations and priorities of this world, cares and worries that can tempt even us, even those who have already risen with Christ to new life. Why is it that even within the household of faith, Christian churches are filled to capacity but once a year? Where will they be next Sunday? Why is it that in congregations that pride themselves on word and sacrament, very often when we turn to page 24 for the communion liturgy, we witness a mass exodus in the back pew? Why is it that even within this community, this household of faith, could there really be some to consistently have something better to do than to worship our risen Lord and to share in the Lamb's high feast? Oh, thank God for the real, full meaning of that Easter victory, that Christ has given his body and blood for the remission of sin, that he has conquered far more than just physical death, but has overcome already for us the spiritual death that separates us from God, the death that comes as the result and wages of our sin. And oh, how I need to be reminded of that victory and that peace day after day after day. For I, daily, sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment, and so do you. We daily need to hear also the wonderful word of victory, that Christ has conquered that death. So you see, we too live in a world of sin and death, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of all of those around us. And it's no secret too that even a spiritually alive community as we have here at the seminary can suffer the consequences of sin and separation. We too have witnessed physical death, the death of a loved one, an infant son, an aged father, a loving mother. And oh, what words of comfort our Lord brings us when he reminds us that he's won the victory, that that kind of death is not the end, that we shall live forever in union with our God and eat and drink in his banquet hall in heaven. Christ has conquered much more than just that physical death. He has overcome to the spiritual death that separates us from God. It comes as a result of the sin that separates us also from each other. And we have evidences of that kind of death here too. Have you ever witnessed the slow, agonizing, painful death of a relationship with a loved one, when husbands and wives do not understand and love each other the way they should, when tensions and misunderstandings can even separate friends and colleagues, when there may be tensions even amongst us, professors get on students' nerves, and students get on professors' nerves. Do we too get burdened down with the cares and worries of our daily life as though what I am doing is the most important thing in the world? Do perhaps our goals and purposes in life get clouded and a bit uncertain? And indeed our very relationship with God seems veiled and so unsure? Do we too sometimes see things very unclearly and wonder how and wonder if God has a purpose for me, whether God will use me in his mission to a church that seems to grow also very, very slowly? Or how about the rescheduling, the shame that we Christians often suffer at the hands of the foolish people of the world? People who say, oh, those crazy Christians, they don't know how to live, they don't know how to have fun, they don't know how to have a good time, and then they try and go to hell and tell us how we're supposed to live. Those stupid Christians who take what very precious little money they have in a tight economy and give it away to some unseen God? How foolish that really is. Imagine how the people must have felt in the day of the prophet Isaiah, a day too of reproach and uncertainty. Oh, the glory of the kingdom was long gone. It was again an age of war and rumors of war. an age of intrigue and suspicion when even the leaders of the people did not know whom to trust, a day of those constant frustrations of daily life and of the temptations of God's holy people, if he were not by those who could care less about true worship. And then that constant threat of invasion. Would God's holy mountain Zion stand or fall in defeat? And to people as this, living in an age of uncertainty and fear, the word of the prophet Isaiah comes as a word of promise and victory. He speaks of a feast beyond all compare, a victory feast in which God will destroy that veil over his people, in which he will swallow up death, in which he will wipe away the tears from all faces and remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. Things are different now. Have you noticed? You can almost feel it in the Easter atmosphere of this week. Maybe it was Lent. I don't know. Those 6 weeks get a bit tedious for me, too. Long, grim, intentionally tedious at times, singing over and over again those awfully slow-moving hymns, reminding ourselves again and again that it was our sins that brought Jesus to the cross, that it was for us that he suffered and died the agony of the Passion. You hear that enough and you start feeling pretty lousy. Because now everything has been changed. Christ has come and died for our sins. And Christ has come and risen to give us the new life. What a joy it is to greet one another as we do this week, seeing our friends again after vacation with the words, "He is risen, he is risen indeed," and know that that victory has given our lives a purpose and a meaning that we can share with one another. That Christ has won the victory and has made us the winner right now. You see, unlike the St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers, we don't have to wait until October to share in the victory celebration. And that for St. Louis, at least, is the most uncertain victory. But Christ has given us the victory right now. God's victory isn't something way off there in the future. Oh, true, the final feast will await us in heaven. But Christ has already won. He has already given us the victory, and he has already given us a taste of that feast of victory, which he shares with us again today. And what a feast it is. No holds barred. All the best food, the finest wine, nothing cheap. He has given his all so that we might share his body and his blood and share in that feast, not of death, though we proclaim his death every time we eat and drink, a feast not of sin, though we come confessing, a feast not of defeat, though we remember that it was our sin for which Christ died, but a feast of life, of forgiveness, of victory, a feast of life and union with God, reunion with God, communion with God, in which we share the victory of our God. Truly a feast fit for a king,